saying, turn in our hymn book. We'll turn to our hymn sheet, please, to our opening hymn tonight. It's really 334 in our own hymn book. It was Down at the Feet of Jesus. Oh, the happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were washed away. Let me tell the old, old story of his grace so full and free, for I feel like giving him the glory for his wondrous love to me. It's a great hymn of testimony, reminding us what we have in Christ as our Redeemer. We'll stand as we sing, and let us sing it out with all of our heart to the glory of the Lord. Just unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer. Let us just look afresh to the Lord tonight, praying for his help and blessing and grace, even in our meeting this evening. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we rejoice afresh tonight in thy goodness, and in thy tender mercies, and in thy love toward us in salvation. And Father, we praise thee and we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who come into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank thee, O God, that he bare our sin in his own body to the tree. And we praise thee, O God, and we thank thee tonight that with his stripes we are healed. We thank thee for his precious blood that he shed, that blood that cleanseth us from all sin, that makes us whiter than the snow. We thank thee for the perfect life of Christ and for that robe of perfect and spotless righteousness that he has imputed to us, that has become our own, our glorious dress as the people of God. And Father, we rejoice, O God, tonight as thy people, that we are accepted before thee in the Beloved. And thank thee, O God, tonight as thy people, we can rejoice that our sins have been pardoned, cast into the sea of thy forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. How David could say, as far as the east is from the west, so far hast thou removed our transgressions from us. We praise thee and we thank thee, O God, for the riches of thy grace day by day toward us as the people of God. Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us in our going out and our coming in. We thank the Lord for that great promise of our Savior when he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And Father, we praise thee and we thank thee for our great hope and that prize that awaits us as the people of God. And Father, we thank thee that it is a hope that is secure by the blood of the Lamb. And Father, we just thank thee for enabling us to gather here tonight in this fashion, for this open door. And we thank thee for the promise of thy word, that thou said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." And we pray tonight, O Lord, that we might know a very gracious, conscious sense of the presence of the Lord. We realize, Lord, that it is thy presence that makes the feast. And Father, we ask that thou would tabernacle amongst us today, or tonight, Lord, in a mighty and in a powerful way, outpour thy Spirit upon us and bless our hearts and bless our souls around thy word and around the throne of grace and prayer. We thank that thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray that even through thy word tonight that we'll be encouraged and built up in our most holy faith. We thank thee, O God, for that great place, that great resource we have of prayer, that we can call upon God, that we can seek thee, the great I am, to help us and meet us at a point of our need along life's journey. And we praise thee, O God, that thou art a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. Thou said in thy word that before they call, I will answer. And Lord, you have said in thy word that if we seek, we shall find. If we ask, we shall receive. And if we knock, it shall be opened unto us. And Father, we thank thee, O God, for that great storehouse of thy treasures that thou dost have for the people of God, that thou art willing to bestow upon us day by day. Bless all who have gathered tonight. Bless every head bowed before thee, every family, household represented. Meet the need of every life, of every home. Lord, collectively we would bring before thee, Lord, the spiritual needs, Lord, of our homes and our families, and Father, our family circles. And we pray that thou would unite each family circle in the Lord. By thy grace and by thy power, we ask of thee. We think of those that are unable to join with us tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity. We pray that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt touch them, strengthen them physically, strengthen them, Lord, spiritually, and meet them at the point of their need, O God, we ask. Remember others who have suffered loss in recent times. We pray that they will know the comforting hand of our God to be their portion. And Father, we pray that thou wilt bless all connected with this congregation, and grant us that even in this new year that we've entered into, that we might know seasons of refreshing, seasons of blessing and revival from the right hand of our God. We thank thee for the children's meeting tonight in Tresna, and all the boys and girls who are present to hear your word. And Lord, do speak on, we pray, to their salvation of their never dying souls. Lord, bless that meeting, and remember Thursday night in McGuire's Bridge, and here on Friday night as well, amongst the boys and girls, gather many children in under the sound of your word. Give help in the ministry of thy word. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless and add to this work this year in a mighty and in a powerful way. Bless our land tonight, O God. We think of other prayer meetings on at this time, gospel missions and ministry meetings. Father, do bless every faithful servant of God. Wherever thy word is faithfully preached and proclaimed, we pray that thou wilt bless it. And Father, we pray that thou wilt have mercy upon our land, and that, Lord, thou wilt turn the hearts of many unto the Lord. So, Father, be with us now, we pray. Abide with us, do our hearts much good. Glorify the Savior in all that will be said and done tonight. And may we go away from this meeting place, knowing, Lord, that we've met with thee, knowing the blessing of the Lord in our hearts, that blessing, O Lord, that maketh rich, that addeth no sorrow thereto. Hear in heaven thy dwelling place and answer prayer, for we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory, in giving thee thanks. Amen. Amen. And we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's word to the New Testament book of Colossians, Colossians chapter number 1, the first chapter of Colossians. And just reading from the verse number 19 of the chapter, going down just to the end of the verse number 23. We're looking at this book, and we just want to carry on with that theme of studying through this book. And we're reading tonight from verse 19 down to verse 23. While you're looking it up, we welcome everyone in the Lord's great name. It's good to see all who have gathered with us tonight. We pray the Lord will bless you. Remember the services over the weekend. Pray for them. The children's meeting here Friday night, 6:30. The youth fellowship at 8 p.m. Be much in prayer for the youth as they gather. And then the services on the Lord's Day, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m., the morning worship service, 12 noon. They belong to bring God's word. And then remember the special testimony meeting on the Lord's Day evening at 7 o'clock. Our young brother, Mr. Matthew Hunter from Randallstown, will be with us to testify of the Lord's saving grace and the Lord's delivering grace in his life. So be much in prayer for him. He's looking forward to coming. Just pray that he'll know God's help and blessing. And do pray that others will gather and make it known. There's still wee invites there in the table in the porch. I encourage you to take those and do all you can to invite others in. Drugs are an awful scourge in our land, and there's many sadly afflicted and in bondage to this. And we just pray that even such might be gathered in this Lord's Day evening to hear what God can do. So remember that. There's also wee invite cards there for the ladies' fellowship meeting. They're out there on the table in the porch. Encourage you to take those as well and give them out in due season over the coming weeks. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're reading tonight from Colossians chapter 1 and the verse number 19. And here we have Paul speaking to us about the Lord Jesus. And he says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Amen. We'll end our reading there, verse 23, praying that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. Now, it must be said that man is one who is in great need of reconciliation with God. Proof of this is seen really in the way that man treats God's creation. Yes, by his own schemes, man often destroys the beauty of God's creation around him. Indeed, further evidence of man's need of reconciliation with God is also seen in the way that he treats his fellow man. In a quest for selfish gain, man is one who lives for himself. And indeed, this quest is often left to theft, to murder, to war, and indeed all kinds of crime throughout society. And then more evidence that man needs reconciliation with God is seen also in the way that man has rebelled against God and the Word of God and against the ways of God. Indeed, speaking of man's rebellion against God, the book of Genesis says in Genesis 6, verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And that was really God's verdict upon mankind and his rebellion against God and the ways of God and the Word of God. And why the cause of man's rebellion against God is due to man's sinful heart and man's sinful nature before God. The Bible tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's only whenever man's sin is forgiven by God that he can be reconciled with God and also enabled to live in harmony, not only with God and walk with God, but also live in harmony with his fellow man, and indeed with the rest of God's creation around him. Now, man's great need of reconciliation with God is highlighted by the Apostle Paul in our Bible reading here tonight as he writes this letter to the church at Colossae. To date in this chapter, we've seen how Paul commends this church of the Colossians. We've seen how he has prayed for them. We've seen also in addressing them how he set before them the preeminence of Christ. And here in our reading tonight in verses 19 to 23, he really deals with this vital subject of man's reconciliation with God. And you see that especially highlighted there in verse 20 and verse 21 of the chapter, where he says, and here he's speaking about the Lord Jesus, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by your wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Here he's speaking of reconciliation with God, even in the life of these believers in Christ in the church at Colossians. As we think tonight upon this matter of man being reconciled with God, there are four things just I want you to note briefly and simply tonight. Notice first of all here with me the pleasure of man's reconciliation with God. And you see that in verses 19 and 20 of the chapter. It says of God, for it pleased the Father that in him that is in Christ should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, rather they be things in earth or things in heaven. And those words there really show us how it pleases God whenever sinful man, whoever he is, whoever she is reconciled to himself, reconciled to God. And by this pleasure of God and man's reconciliation with himself is all due to Christ. It is all due to the Son of God. Notice again the specific reference to Christ and God's pleasure in Christ and through Christ. In verse 19 of the chapter, it says, it pleased the Father that in him, that in Christ, should all fullness dwell. By those words there in verse number 19, they remind us, yes, that Christ was God manifest in the flesh, for all the fullness of God, the Father dwelt in Christ. And it is through Christ, God manifest in the flesh, through the Son of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Father delights in, that God bestows this wonderful blessing of reconciliation to sinful man. And people, here we see God's pleasure in sinners being reconciled to himself. This is a truth of Scripture that God is pleased, that it delights the heart of God, that it brings pleasure to God in sinners being reconciled unto himself. We see that truth and that great statement of God in the book of Ezekiel when he says he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And my, if he's no pleasure in the death of the wicked, then the obvious conclusion is that he has pleasure in the ungodly and sinners being reconciled to himself. And my, this pleasure and delight is highlighted even by the Lord Jesus Christ himself in Luke's gospel when he speaks there of the parable of the lost coin. At the end of that parable, Christ says these words. He says, likewise, I say unto you that there's joy in the presence of God over one sinner that repenteth. Yes, God takes pleasure in sinners being reconciled to himself. God delights in sinners being reconciled to himself. And brethren and sisters in Christ tonight in the meeting, in light of this fact that God delights in the reconciliation of sinners with himself, then surely as Christians we should do all we can in our life as believers to spread the gospel message of how man can be reconciled with God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, if God delights in sinners being reconciled with himself, then surely then the outworking of that in our lives as believers is this: we should do all we can in our earthly life to spread this glorious message to others that they too can be reconciled with God through Christ. That is how it was with the Apostle Paul. Turn with me back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And look at what Paul says about this very fact in verse number 20 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. He says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Paul, yes, was an ambassador for Christ. He was a witness for Christ, and wherever he went, he sought to preach and to spread this glorious message that sinners can be reconciled with God. And child of God, that's the example that you and I are to follow. In light of this great fact that God is one who delights in his pleasure in sinful man being reconciled to himself. Yes, we see here the pleasure of man's reconciliation with God. But notice secondly tonight from our reading, notice the manner of man's reconciliation with God. How is man reconciled with God? Well, look at verse number 20 there, the beginning of the verse 20 of Colossians 1. And then look at what is said in verse 21 and verse 22 about Christ. It says in verse 20 about Christ, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross," then verse 21 says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he," that's Christ, "reconciled in the body of his flesh through death." And here Paul is reminding the Colossian believers that they were reconciled to God through Christ, through the person of Christ, through the very sacrifice of Christ. It was not anything of themselves or of man's religion or of man's invention. No, their reconciliation with God, it was all through Christ. It says there of Christ, having made peace through the blood of the cross. He says again of Christ, verse 21, "Yet now hath he reconciled." And then speaking of the very person and the sacrifice of Christ, he says in verse 22, "In the body of his flesh, through death." He was reminding them that their reconciliation with God was all through Christ. They owed it all to Christ. And child of God, this is how it is with you and I also. Yes, we have been reconciled to God, and our reconciliation with God and to God as sinners, it is all due to Christ. We owe it all to Christ. It's all due to the person of Christ. It's all due to the offering, the sacrifice of Christ. There's been nothing of ourselves or of man's religion or man's invention, no. We owe it all to Christ. My speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ in Romans chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible says, "Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." And that statement really means that Christ was one who perfectly kept the law of God for us, something we could never do, no matter how hard we may have tried. But Christ, as our substitute, as our mediator, he kept the law of God perfectly for us. And then in Isaiah 53, verse 5, you have that great statement about the sacrifice of Christ. And it says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes," with his wounds, with the shedding of his blood, it says, we are healed. And my, it is by his sacrifice alone, and by the blood shedding of Christ alone, that he paid the penalty of our sin in full to God. That's what he did for us. He kept the law of God for us, something we could not do. He paid the penalty of our sin in full for us. He took upon himself the wrath, the judgment of God that we deserved. Dear believer in the meeting house tonight, the moment, yes, you trusted Christ to be your Savior, whenever that was, wherever that was in your life's experience, your sins, your iniquities were all forgiven by God, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ was imputed to you. That's what happened, child of God, when you were saved. When you trusted Christ, God pardoned your sins on account of what Christ did for you at the cross. And my God imputed to you the righteousness of Christ, the perfect robe of that spotless righteousness of Christ. And dear believer, it is by this great transaction that you have been reconciled to God, your Maker, your Creator, the one that we've sinned against in thought, in word, and in deed. Turn with me back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter number 5. And look with me there at what Paul says about this in verse number 10. Romans chapter 5 and the verse number 10. He says, "For if when we were enemies," remember we were enemies to God in our sin, "if when we were enemies to God, we were reconciled to God," notice it, "by the death," by the blood shedding "of his Son, so much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." In other words, we're accepted before God through the life of Christ, the perfect, sinless, spotless Son of God. Yes, we've been reconciled to God through Christ. Yes, once you and I, we were enemies to God. We were alienated from God. But now we've been reconciled to God through Christ. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And we owe it all to Christ and what he has done for us and shedding his blood for us as the sinless, spotless, flawless Lamb of God. The hymn writer, speaking of Christ and what Christ had done for him on the cross, penned those tremendous words about Christ. He said, "Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Seal my pardon with his blood." Hallelujah. What a Savior. And child of God, that is what Christ has done for every single one of us in this meeting tonight who are saved. He has sealed our pardon. He has sealed your pardon, believer, by his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Oh, let us thank God tonight for such a mercy that we've been reconciled to God through Christ. My, if we were not reconciled with God through Christ, we'd still be afar off from God, living in rebellion and in sin against God. Yes, the pleasure, man's reconciliation with God, the manner of man's reconciliation with God. Notice, thirdly, the purpose of man's reconciliation with God. And you see that in particular there in verse 21 of the chapter, where it says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled." And here Paul reminds the Colossian believers of their condition before they were saved, before they were reconciled. He says there, "You were alienated." An alien is someone that doesn't belong to that place or to that people. He says, you were enemies in your mind by your wicked works. They were once separated, afar off from God. And then in verse number 22 of the chapter, he goes on and tells them that this great purpose of their reconciliation was to change their state and their condition before Almighty God. Look at what he says there in verse 22 of Christ, "In the body of his flesh through death," notice it, "to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." And brethren and sisters in Christ, this is the great purpose of our reconciliation with God as well. Yes, once you and I were afar off from God, we were his enemies. Our lives were marked by wicked works. That was our testimony. That was our life. But now through the reconciling power of God's grace in Christ, we have been made nigh to God and our lives have been changed by the grace of God. Think again of those words there in verse 22. It speaks of us there being made, it says, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. This is the fruit, this is the outworking of this glorious reconciliation with God through Christ. What does it mean? It speaks, yes, of our sins being cleansed away, forgiven by the blood of Christ. The Bible says of Christ, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." It also speaks of grace being given to live for God, to live for God's honor, God's glory. Turn with me in your Bible back there to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and the verse number 8. And look at what it says there to you and I who are saved, who are reconciled to God through Christ. It says in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. O people of God, tonight, because of Christ, we can rejoice tonight in pardon, in the pardon of our sins. We can rejoice tonight in transforming grace. We can say, praise God, by the grace of God, we are not what we once were before we were saved and in our unconverted days. It's the purpose of man's reconciliation, the manner of it, the pleasure of it. Notice one final thought here. Notice the evidence of man's reconciliation with God. Look at those opening words there of verse 23 of Colossians chapter 1. He says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And by the evidence, yes, that these Colossians were reconciled with God, what was it? It was a continuance in the things of God. It was a perseverance in the gospel and in the things of God. Paul says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And people, that's the mark of all who are reconciled to God through Christ. There is a perseverance in the things of God. There's a going on with God. There's a cleaving to God, a cleaving to the things of God. My Christ speaks of this very fact in the Gospel of Matthew when he says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And brethren and sisters in Christ, if our lives are to be marked by the perseverance of the saints of God in this awful day of falling away, then as Christians we must continue in the faith. We must cleave, it says, to the gospel. We must be grounded and settled in the things of God. In other words, as believers, we must follow after Christ day by day in our lives as Christians. There's to be that following after the Lord, that following on to know the Lord, that growing in grace, that going forward with God. Turn with me back to Matthew's Gospel chapter 16. Matthew's Gospel chapter 16 and the verse number 24. It says there, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that's the mark of those who are reconciled with God. There's that denial of self. There's that taking up of the cross. And that following after Christ all the days of our life. Oh, daily may our prayer, indeed may our burden as God's people be like that of the hymn writer, who said, I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all the world forsake thee, by thy grace, I'll follow thee. Indeed, that's the mark of those that are reconciled unto God through Christ. And may that be our prayer day by day. Lord, by thy grace, I will follow thee. I will follow thee more fully. Follow thee more closely. Follow thee more swiftly in the ways of God day by day. May God bless his word and bless these few thoughts to our hearts and our souls this evening. We'll just get down to our time of prayer. Do you remember the children's meetings over the week? Remember the services, youth meeting? Remember especially the testimony meeting? Be much in prayer for that. And remember the online ministry as well, those who would listen in online. Do you remember our missionaries at home and abroad? Remember Colin here in the open air ministry with Noel. Pray that they'll know God's help and blessing. Remember the missionary work in Nepal. Sister Joy Gillespie and Paul Thapp and the others that labor there in Nepal, remember them in your prayers. And do pray for God's people in Ukraine. We had a message from our brother Fleming, who was with us there just before Christmas. He went back there to Ukraine just after Christmas, just returned home, and had a very encouraging trip over in eastern Ukraine, very near with the trouble that seems to be brewing and amassing with the Russian forces on the border. But said it was very cold, but he praises the Lord for answer prayer that new doors were opened and to spread the gospel, and those precious souls who were saved, who came to the Lord Jesus Christ through the ministry of God's word there. So let us give God thanks for that and just pray on that the Lord will bless his people out in that very dangerous region at this time. Yes, Colin?
Hillsborough Free Church, and they recall the drive-in mission we had there a few months ago, just before Christmas or September. He said that on the last night, his son had come into the meeting and see him with his girlfriend, and greatly moved with the preaching, and it was laying eventually to the salvation of his son and his girlfriend, and they were living together, and they. They got married last week, a couple of weeks ago, so pretty great things as well.
Yeah.
We're really rejoicing in that, that's the first we've heard of anything like that. So the seed being sown, we always work there and then on the night, but it's in the ground, and God uses it in his own time, so we're really encouraged with that.
And that's tremendous news, folks.
Just pray for that young couple, the Lord will bless them and lead them on with God, encourage them, and that even others too might be saved as a result of that seed that has been sown in days gone by. Remember also the sick in your prayers. Remember Dory. Do remember also Sister Avril Boyd. She's had a fall and broken a limb as well. Do remember her in your prayers at this time. You know God's grace and strength. Remember James Little as well. Remember Mrs. Dean and the other elderly members of her congregation. Let aside at this time, remember them in your prayers. And also value prayers for her own mother. She's down just with COVID at the present, so just remember her in your prayers as well, that she might know God's help and God's healing at this time. But encourage as many as possible to pray, men and women, young and old alike, and encourage you all just to seek the Lord and call upon the Lord in the time that is left. And maybe ask our brother, Mr. Bob Charlton, to lead us off in prayer, Brother Bob, and then maybe also our brother John Dean, and then one after the other as the Lord would lead. Our brother Bob, and then John, and then one after the other as the Lord leads us, please.